Hi, Shahidul. This is Rohit. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you, Rohit? Good to see you.
Fine. Thank you, Shahidul. Welcome to this podcast. It is actually the 143rd recording of what is called the Big Unlock. And Paddy had started this from Demo Consulting. Mm-hmm. And I'm now carrying forward his legacy. So he had finished at 140. This is the 143rd that I'm recording.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So would love to get a little bit of introduction, Shahidul, from your side. Tell us about yourself and what interested you in the healthcare industry segment. And I'll just say that I'm Rohit Mahajan. I'm the managing partner and the CEO at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And over to you.
Sure. Thank you again. And it's exciting to hear you've been running it for 143. That's a huge achievement. And thanks for all the contribution. Podcasts like these are very important for evangelism of the mission and the wonderful, exciting work we are doing in technology, data, AI, healthcare. So thanks for doing that. As for my introduction, my name is Shahidul Manan. I'm the Chief Data Officer at Bonsecure Mercy Health. And I also have extended role in Nordic Partners as VP of Digital Health. As for my background, I've been in this space for almost 20 plus years now. I have been in financial for over a decade, and then in high-tech software, running software as business, analytics softwares, and then in healthcare for the last 7-8 years. And I think it's an exciting time to be in technology, and especially in data and AI with all the emerging innovations that we are seeing. Before I jump into that, let me also tell you about the enterprise I'm with, Bonsecure Mercy Health. So we are an enterprise of about 70 hospitals, a system, hospital system, and 6 subsidiaries, and about 70,000 plus employees, and 20 million patient lives that we care for. And we're in 7 states and also in Ireland through some acquisition. As for what I manage there as a chief data officer is pretty much anything and everything that touches data. And that means data platforms, cloud, digital innovation, and focusing on analytics, serving all the systems, and then data productization and AI innovation. And now I'm also focused very much on our platform and data AI product commercialization to some extent. Commercialization in a sense, sharing the goodies with other systems and in the healthcare space so that our innovation can actually touch other systems and their patients as well. And through that, garnering revenue for our system as well. And overall, I think healthcare is a great place to be because of the innovation and all the direct impact that we can make on patients and on our healthcare services. So as you know, healthcare was or has been historically a little bit behind in the digital transformation. Our first true digital transformation began with the ACA, Affordable Care Act, where the EHR became almost like a mandate and we all systems started to put our all operations driven by the digital platform that is the EHRs. And that started capturing all digital footprints for our patients, our providers, and everything we do, and create the data that we need. And in the next phase, we are using that data to drive anything and everything we can do, from building insights, data-driven decisions, data-driven operations, and data analytics-driven innovations for patient outcome, patient quality of services, and various patient engagement.
Shahidul, thank you for that very nice high-level overview. It's really interesting that you can have such a large impact, 20 million patients being served over 7 states in the US. That is really fantastic. And I know that even previous to joining this organization, you have been in healthcare with a Boston-based organization, Mass General, here in the local area. So please tell us a little bit about what got you excited and got you motivated to get into the healthcare industry segment, because this is not originally where you started, right? So, and this is where you are spending most of your time now and super excited about the impact that can be made on the patients' lives.
Absolutely. No, thank you. Yeah, I was with Mass General Brigham before and in similar role and drove many innovations with data AI there as well. And I think, as I mentioned, healthcare is becoming more and more interesting for two reasons. One is that it has been a little bit of greenfield compared to other industries. As we are digitizing more and the focus is more on digitization, there's tons of greenfield innovation opportunities that are emerging. The other piece of the reason kind of is that healthcare is likely, and actually there are many data sets that shows, has the highest growth in data set. You know, the AI revolution we are in is eventually going to come down to who has the most differentiating data and who has the highest quality of data. And I think healthcare has an edge on having the highest growth and volume of data. And that also gives us the burden of harvesting that data and enabling that data. And there are tons of challenges, starting with 80% of healthcare data is actually unstructured data. It's the physician notes or your X-ray images. So building the truth or building insights or building predictive power out of those is more challenging than ever. So combination of this, I think in terms of challenge, this is a great place to be, and opportunity is a great place to be. And the last reason I would put for now is that this is very much mission-driven effort, mission-driven space, which also motivates me, as I know that anything that we do, our teams does for innovation, actually touches human lives and makes a difference in terms of the patient outcome or the cost of healthcare that we as a nation and actually globally are struggling with. That's why I get excited about healthcare and find it extremely rewarding.
That is fantastic, Shahidul. So Shahidul, I heard you say about the explosion of data, especially in healthcare, and that data in healthcare possibly becoming the largest data set, and couldn't agree more. I mean, especially with what we are seeing with remote patient monitoring and all the devices which are going to be helping along the patient's journey. And then, you know, all this data has to be then stored into the cloud and analyzed, all of that. So how do you think about two things? One, that you've been in this data engineering, data infrastructure for so long. What are some of your thoughts around that? What is your advice or some of your thoughts of people who are just about starting their journey or moving to the next phase of the journey on how do you build a robust data infrastructure which can then be ripe for then AI and new technologies and possibly generative AI now use cases?
Great question. Yeah. And this is a pretty complex one in terms of how we are going to tackle this big challenge. So my strategy is, and that's what I would suggest others to think about, is first think of the large-scale enablement, how you're going to have all your data in an efficient, consolidated, aggregated way that and that you can manage for high quality, for better processing, and that can technically enable your enterprise to do all kind of use cases. Now we are in the era, longer gone, the days of just reporting and weekly reporting, right? Even daily reporting. Now we are going on real-time analytics, real-time insights. And to build that infrastructure, that platform, and that data aggregation with the proper quality measurements, quality oversight, and then with the proper data dictionary and governance. And with AI comes also the larger responsibility where data governance is forming into AI governance. All these coming into play, that enablement has to be there. That's what I call foundation. So anyone thinking about this space needs to start about that. And the foundation needs to be bigger than what your EHR or our EHRs offer. It needs to be more independent and more innovative workspace with these, you know, various bells and whistles of governance, but also innovation tools from going real-time analytics to AI-driven applications, their productization, building their workflow so your physicians or nurses or hospital administrators can use it. Because the more you can operationalize it, the better benefit you can get. It's no longer, or should be, even on the GenAI front, a science project of some kind where you try it on experimentation level. You want to do that, that's the beginning, but you want to think about how to operationalize it and actually put it in production in the hands of the field players, so you can actually see tangible value coming out of it. So my suggestion is start with that foundation, think big, but start small. And then in the next phase, look at harvesting various types of value use cases. You want to pick the use cases that actually provides that tangible value and start with all these field stakeholders so you get a pragmatic use case that you can build, validate, and then actually put it to use, because it's only the value that comes out when it's in use. So keep that in mind and start the innovation there and put these in the hands of the field level various players, from physicians to hospital administrators. And that is what I called more in the innovation space of data and AI. And then the final one is a never-ending continuous improvement, which is the value extraction and building your more operational maturity level of data and AI, where you are at a stage where you have built your foundation, you have proven your value through various high-value use cases. Now you want to do it in a more operational, efficient level, where it can be part of your business or enterprise strategy. So your strategy and your AI initiatives cannot be separate. It needs to be at a space where systems or healthcare providers or payers or any stakeholder in healthcare, when they build their next level of strategy for service or product or getting better in what they do, needs to think what additional value, service, or product I can provide with AI. So it needs to be embedded with their strategy, and they need to feel confident that they have the capability and they have the value use case or value proposition to connect them to and build their next level of strategy together. So that's how I would approach this overall.
That's a great practical approach, Rahidul. So building on top of that, you talked about strategy and you talked about innovation. You must be sitting in a lot of C-suite meetings at your organization, and perhaps even when you're visiting your friends and colleagues at other healthcare institutions and organizations. What are you hearing from the stakeholders and senior level folks on what the business problems are looking like? That is one aspect that I wanted to ask you about. And second is, how is it being influenced by ChatGPT and GenAI kind of becoming a household name where everyone is experimenting with it at home or at work?
Yeah, that's a very good observation and very good point as well. I think everyone's excited about GenAI, everyone's excited about the potential, but in many cases, they don't know where to start. And many cases, they're worried that they're going to be left behind. So it's an interesting time, actually, for the C-suite to be challenged with this opportunity and challenges of AI. So what I hear most from my colleagues and the leadership that I work with or my friends is several fold. One is that everyone's more and more now getting worried about the enablement, meaning are they ready for doing this type of innovation or taking advantage of GenAI or any machine learning or even advanced analytics type of activities. And honestly, most of them feel like and have talked to me that they feel they are not ready. I don't want to put an exact number, but it would be easily between 70 to 85% who thinks they're not fully there with their data, technology, and AI capabilities to even explore to the extent that can extract the right value for their enterprise. But the interesting part is 90% or more, and this is also from various study, feel and are compelled to do something with this. And they're committed to some extent with funding or with their strategy to do more with data AI from platform to innovation. So that's the good news. And then the third thing that I also observe in here is about the governance of all of these things. And rightfully so, because we are in a highly regulated environment, as you know, healthcare that is, especially. And we are the custodian of patient data. So we have to be extremely careful, not only from regulatory perspective, but also from ethical and clinical use of what we do. So all these needs to kind of be orchestrated with the strategy and then tactical various approach that healthcare organizations are doing. And one last thing on the governance front to add is we will see in the next 6 to 18 months a huge change as well in the regulatory landscape. And as you know, everyone's working towards it. The EU Act, AI Act is already in place, and it's going to start to execute and show various demonstration of new opportunities and new challenges for business and organizations like us in healthcare and others. We have the White House set up various task force to come up with new regulations for managing AI better for good reasons. So all these will start hitting the ground in this time horizon. And we, as the technologists and as the practitioners and leaders in the innovation space, have to comply with that and take that as an opportunity, but also make sure we are prepared and fortified our various organizations to manage it appropriately. So my thinking is that next 6 to 18 months will be more like warm-up, how we can better prepare from our capabilities and enablement to manage the regulatory environment better for what we want to do and what we see as the opportunities with Gen AI and the sort in the next couple of years. But that said, we already are tinkering with a lot of Gen AI type of innovative use cases. And I talked to them, many of them are actually trying it out, which is a good thing. It means, you know, sometimes you have to get your feet wet just to understand where things are. So it's at that stage. But I think with these maturing, there will be, even though it may sound overestimated in some cases, being healthcare usually slow in this innovation space, there may be a tsunami of products and services that will be coming in the next 3 to 5 years in this space.
That's awesome. So Shahidul, I'm trying to get my head around that. You're in such a large organization with regulatory oversight in many different ways. How do you innovate? How do you encourage your team and yourself? How do you innovate in your space? Any insights or thoughts that you can share there?
Yeah, sure. Now, that's a great question. And I get that a lot from my colleagues as well. And as you know, besides the technology hat, we have to have our leadership hat, our evangelism hat, to build that influence with the senior leadership and also build that influence for motivation for our organizations. So starting with the evangelism, I have major programs to educate and train across the enterprise. So everyone gets on board and gets some understanding what this is and how it can be utilized. Focus on democratizing the data and AI capabilities. So everyone can try out some, everyone can get the feel and get access. And that also is an enablement that we constantly work on, that how can we democratize data and give it to the data scientists on any department or any business executives to look at the data, see the decisions that they want to make can be data driven. And then a big part is also building the strategy and showing the value incrementally and convincing the leadership about the value of this whole digitization with AI proposition. So all these needs to be orchestrated. And I also work closely with the team to constantly show them the vision, get the input and feedback from them so they feel excited about it, show them the value proposition that we work with. And it has to all come both all sides. It has to be top down, bottom up, and sideways. Talk to the stakeholders, understand what their pain points are, how we can help them better. So, and upskilling the organization is another focus because the technology is exciting, but it's constantly changing. So make sure that the team is excited and gets into that dream of constant learning, which we are in. So it's everything kind of coming together. And the last thing also to add, I have actually established a pretty robust governance model, even though I think there's more to work on, more to do in terms of maturity, which is working very closely in lockstep with my chief privacy officer, our chief security officer, our legal counsel, and our overall IT together. So everyone feels they have a voice in this, and we need everyone's voice because it's complicated and we are in a highly regulated environment. So we have to balance the compliance with innovation. And the best way to do that is build that partnership and education and understanding across the board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll mention here, you know, at this juncture, a new offering that we have recently launched in the market, you and me were talking about it just before the podcast. Shahidul, it's a Gen AI workshop that we have actually conducted at one of our client locations already in Houston. They were very happy with it. We recently did another one at the Harvard Club of Boston. That's our way of bringing some upskilling and education opportunities to our clients as well. So one last thing, you know, before we part ways on this podcast, Shahidul, I would like to ask you and tell us more about the data platform that you mentioned early on that you have built and you are now commercializing it. So you are actually perhaps even returning revenues to the organization, not just being a cost center, but also being a profit center in some ways. So what is that product offering and how it can benefit other healthcare systems and perhaps digital health startups and others?
Excellent point. Thanks for bringing that up. And thank you for evangelizing on GenAI. I'd love to hear more about the workshop. And that's exactly what we need. We need that words out and kind of getting everyone to understand better what this means, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, and how you can get started. So look forward to that, certainly. And in terms of our platform, we have taken the platform to the next level by making it multi-tenant capable and building into it more de-identification and anonymization capabilities, because those are our custodian responsibilities to make sure we are, as a guardian, playing all the right activities to protect the data. And that said, then we are looking at opportunities and partnered with other, from pharmas to other data vendors, to look opportunities where we can help them innovate, partner with them on innovation, and share this anonymized or de-identified data for greater good while garnering revenue for the system. And that's what now we have almost a partnership with six such vendors and partners, and that's garnering revenue for us. And we want to build it more robust. And we have more interested parties who are coming to us, from startups to large pharma and system organizations. Because I think the more we can share data in this way, we can actually become a larger ecosystem that can then help each other to innovate and solve the larger big healthcare problems. And share the innovation also would help, because not everyone has the budget or the capability to do everything in-house. So this will certainly enable that. And for us as a system, we want to diversify our revenue and also, as you mentioned, become a revenue center instead of a cost center. So we can use that to do greater good and innovate more. So these type of partnerships are generating more revenue for us, and there's more to look at. And the last thing is to add to is we are also looking at several AI products that we have built and proven in-house, from behavioral health to COPD, various patient risk stratification, various hospital stay prediction, or various readmission prediction, all those goodies that can help drive value-based care. And we can certainly help bring those to market. The goal is to start looking at opportunities to bring those to market, to provide that product and service to others and garner more revenue.
That's a very, very strategic step. And definitely as Demo Consulting itself, we would be interested to learn more. And I'm sure listeners of this podcast would be interested as well. So in parting, Shahidul, what would you like to peek in the future and say a few words about what is coming our way in terms of some disruptions and changes?
I don't have a crystal ball, but looking at the trend and looking at the exciting movements, it's, I think, an exciting time to be in data, AI, and healthcare, and overall in technology as a whole. And in the next few years will be more exciting, because we are going to see the outcome of all the initial innovations that we have seen with GenAI, with LLM, with machine learning, with natural language processing, and with the more robust data platforms and cloud-driven analytics capabilities, plethora of technology capabilities that we have set up today and are innovating with today. So stay tuned. I can see that personalized medicine, for example, will become big, and that will actually make patients' lives better, actually impact our day-to-day lives. I can see that healthcare cost and efficiency becoming more and more robust with the predictive power of data, and that will help us manage our healthcare costs better. We do need systemic improvement to solve the entire problem, but these are going to help tremendously. As you know, we are the biggest spender on healthcare, but our return is arguably one of the median or lower than median. And we need to solve for that. And this is a great innovation space that I believe is going to have significant impact, tangible, real impact in the coming days. So looking forward to it and hope you all get to taste it and see the benefit of it and participate in actively.
Thank you, Shahidul. That was a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Same here. Thank you.